Do you feel any better, Scott, now that we have
Yes, I do. I feel amazing. I feel great because
they're going to win these next two games.
Tanaka's going to go out and dominate. Watch it. Mark my words. Tanaka's going to go out and dominate. They're going to put up a five spot early on Carrasco. I don't give a shit about his splits. They're going to go out there and the offense is going to dominate. Yankee Stadium is going to be freaking on fire. They're going to win the game, and then they're going to go out game four, and Severino is going to be like, I'm sorry. I totally fucked up the first one. My bad. And then just dominate. And they're going to get to a game five. That's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 186. The Yankees are on their way to Houston for the American League Championship Series. Holy shit, Scott. Unreal what has happened the last three games in this series. After everything that this team went through after game two, they picked up Joe Girardi. Unbelievable three-game win streak against a team that won 22 games in a row. Going to Houston, baby.
It was absolutely perfect. It was beautiful. The whole thing, the entire way it went down, how we got to Corey Kluber twice. The first time got totally disrupted by a Joe Girardi non-call. The team comes back, picks them up, get to Kluber again, and they're going to the ALCS. They're going to the ALCS to visit our old friends Brian McCann and Carlos Beltran down in Houston. Because why the hell not?
Because it just makes
too much freaking sense to do that, right? Let's just go there. They'll play. Maybe they'll win. Who knows?
Who knows with this team anymore? I'm done. Hey, a wise man once said you can't predict baseball. And you know what? You really fucking can't. Because who would have thought the Yankees would have beat the Cleveland Indians? And like you just said, they're going down to play old friends, Beltran and McCann. Well, they just played Andrew Miller. And one of the key plays in the entire series was Greg Bird, a guy who was hurt the entire last season, taking Andrew Miller deep. The parallels between the Yankees, everybody they sold off last year, and the guys who are coming through this year are just insane. And we've done 2 minutes of this podcast and how neither of us have mentioned Didi Gregorius yet. Didi, Sir Clutch, Sir October, two home runs off Kluber. Are you kidding me?
I mean, this dude throws his bat at the ball in any clutch situation and it just connects and hits the biggest part of the barrel. The dude is unbelievable how he just makes unbelievable contact in such big situations. I mean, against Corey Kluber, it was the same pitch too. Back to back at bats, just taking him deep. Corey Kluber looked stunned. Absolutely stunned. Gregorius looked like he knew it was coming. No problem. Gonna hit the same damn pitch in the same damn place. And he did it. Unbelievable. Unfreaking believable the game that he had.
Kluber to start the game looked way better than he did in game two. His stuff was sharper. I was thinking, oh, it's going to be a long night for the Yankees. And then, boom, Didi hits the home run in the first inning, and you're saying, okay, they've got something. They scratched off Kluber. They stunned the crowd a little bit. Maybe they can rattle Kluber. He settled back in again, though, but credit to CeCe, because CeCe, the first four innings of that game, was nails.
Lights out.
He sent the Indians down so quickly, kept the Yankees' momentum on their side. Didi comes up again in, what was it, the third inning, blasts a home run off him again. I mean, that's the stuff that playoff legends are made of. When you hit two home runs in a clinching game, again in a game series deciding game against the best team in baseball this season, the three runs stood up. Yeah, they scored insurance runs, but the three runs stood up. It's not too much of an exaggeration to say Didi, with his home run in the wild card game and the two home runs in this series, becoming a Yankees legend before our very eyes.
Oh boy. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. This dude is cementing himself in all of the fans. When you think about this postseason, the first thing you think about is Didi Gregorius and what he's done. I mean, it's just crazy how he just he's got ice veins, man. The guy just doesn't feel pressure and in fact steps up at the biggest moment. Speaking of stepping up, CeCe Sabathia. Like we all knew what he was going to do. We all knew he was going to come out there and give these Yankees a hell of a start. I didn't really see one person be like, oh, damn, CeCe's pitching. No. This man is is built for this type of game. And what did he do but come out, what, 9 strikeouts in 4 and a third? Unbelievable. I mean, he was locating the breaking ball. The strike zone was massive today, which was good for CeCe.
And bad for Aaron Judge.
Terrible for Aaron Judge, because those are just, that's just unfair to call those strikes. But the strike zone was perfect for CeCe. He was wrapping these balls right around that black, on the black, on the plate. 9 strikeouts. I mean, just unbelievable. Keeping them on their toes, pumping it up to, what, 92, 93. He was so good. And you just could tell in the fourth inning that he hit a wall.
Yeah, he did.
After that. And that's fine. You know, whatever. He gave everything for that. And that's all. That was all gravy at that point. So, I mean, what an unbelievable performance by him.
The wall came up fast.
It did.
It came up as fast as he made that divot on the infield, catching that little pop-up bunt. But CeCe, the biggest thing you have to credit him for is that he kept the momentum on the Yankee side early in that game. Because had the Indians scratched long at-bats off of him, or maybe even gotten to him in the second or third inning like they did in game 2, it could have been a completely different game. Because like I said, Kluber's stuff was looking better, but you couldn't sit there and wait if you're Terry Francona. You're down 3-0 early in that game. He had to go to Andrew Miller right away. That was such a huge pivotal moment. Sabathia just keeping momentum on the Yankee side early in that game. Yes, he hit a wall. He's going to do that. This is his second playoff start. This postseason.
In the series.
And he's old. and he's old. Let's just say 9 strikeouts is probably too many strikeouts for Sabathia. He wants to get outs quicker than 9 strikeouts.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I mean, his stuff was swing and miss stuff. So it's almost, you look at what, you know, the way he was throwing, and yeah, you're throwing pitches, but damn, I mean, he wasn't walking guys. He was, he was kind of cutting down in that sense. He was throwing a lot of strikes, and they were good strikes, and he was keeping them off balance. The thing about getting Didi off in that first inning, just hitting that home run, having the Yankees score first was such a big part of this game, I think, because one, I believe it gave CeCe just that much more steam to go out there. Like, all right, I got one. That's it. You know what I mean? Like, I got one. I'm going to go out and whoop some ass now because these guys got one for me. And you could just see the fire in that man's eyes. But having that one run and striking first, like you were talking about, taking the life out of the stadium a little bit. And I think it did that just ooh, even for that 1 second, even for that one short little bit until they got back up. You know, it's just one run, but what it does is it kind of levels out. It kind of levels everything out, and you can kind of like settle into the game. We're like, okay, we got that run. Now we're good. Let's go. And that's exactly what happened, man. It was freaking awesome.
You saw those crowd shots of the Indians fans. They were stunned.
Yeah, of course, you're not expecting Corey Kluber, the guy who has been so good all year. I think he missed a month of the season, still had 18 wins on the year.
He's going to be the Cy Young.
He's going to be the Cy Young. Yeah. And you're seeing the Yankees get to this guy a second time in a row. It's almost one of those just unbelievable moments.
It's you might have chalked it up to a fluke the first time around, that he just had a bad game. The Yankees had a good approach against him. But the fact that they did it against Kluber, the best pitcher in the American League, maybe the best pitcher in baseball, twice in this series, including in a decisive Game 5, is so much confidence for this team. It doesn't matter who the Houston Astros are going to throw up against. Yeah, they're throwing Dallas Keuchel in Game 1. He may have been your kryptonite. Guess what? That was the old Yankees. That was the Brian McCann and Carlos Beltran and Alex Rodriguez Yankees. This is the Didi Gregorius, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge Yankees. Doesn't freaking matter anymore.
No, it doesn't matter. It's a totally different team. That Dallas Keuchel ownage back in 2015 is so long ago. It seems like it's decades ago. Team, like, different, totally different players. There's only Brett Gardner. And is that the only one?
Headley.
And Head. Gardner and
don't
Head.
Forget about L's. Our dynamic DH combination of
Chief L's.
Head and L's.
So the roster is completely turned over. It means absolutely nothing. And Dallas Keuchel was having a freaking all-world year that year. He's not the same guy. He's still good, don't get me wrong, but he's not the same guy.
We're gonna break down, or to the best of our abilities, late at night here as we just came off that Game 5, break down the ALCS, what we can do of it. But you mentioned something earlier about Sabathia and how Yankees fans, nobody was worried about Sabathia throwing up a stinker in this game. Right. The worry was, is Corey Kluber going to just show up as Cy Young, because then they might lose 1-0 and what are you going to do? But Sabathia, he was having fun early in that game. Pressure does not bother CC Sabathia.
No.
Did you catch the cameras as the Yankees were batting one time, Sabathia yawning in the dugout? This is a this is a game five to go to the American League Championship Series, and Sabathia is yawning like it's a July afternoon. It's nothing to this guy.
No, that's the thing. He doesn't let himself get too high or too low as far as when you're in a game and the pressure surrounding it. His emotions will go high and they will go low because he gets mad and he gets happy very fast at the drop of a hat. But at the same time, it doesn't affect what he does. He goes out there with ice in the veins and just pitches like any other day. And actually, I don't think it's like every other day. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, now that it's coming out of my mouth, he ramps it up. But like you said, like the visible pressure, not evident at all with him. It's just one of those things. He's just able to turn it off. And I think when you have a guy that competes like that, and there was quotes out there today talking about if you're watching that game, you get an ulcer, but if you're playing in it, it's fun. And I get that. I mean, that's what these guys do. These guys live for the competition at the highest level, at the most. At the biggest moments, and that's exactly what it is. So, I mean, this is his profession. This is what he's built his entire career for, are these moments.
Some guys relish these opportunities. Like when we had Ruko on the podcast and you talked to him, he was talking about how Sabathia, all he wants to do is pitch again in the playoffs. That's what he wants to accomplish for the rest of his career, is just get back to the playoffs and pitch in the playoffs. Other guys can't handle it. They can't relish it. Good thing we found out Severino wasn't one of those guys. But Sabathia has always been a guy that it doesn't matter when the pressure is, if it's the World Series game, if it's an opening day start, whatever it is, he's going to nut up. That's why we love CeCe.
No, it's true. And by the way, your boy Tanaka looked pretty damn good when he was thrown in the playoffs as well. I mean, he had a different thing on his face. There was a different facial Tanaka expression game going on there. It was a much more intense Tanaka, a much more I'm a perfectionist, you're not going to beat me, I'm the best player coming from Japan Tanaka. Like, that was the type of guy that I saw.
If we're playing the who are we worried about it from the starting rotation going into Houston, out of the four, it's Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray right now.
Yeah. And he might start game one. We don't know. It's probably not going to be announced until Thursday. What's tomorrow? God, I'm so screwed up.
I don't even know what day it is, honestly.
It's just a whirlwind. But it might be Tanaka. It might be Sonny Gray, whatever it is. But Sonny Gray did not look good in his one start of this series. And so much so that Girardi didn't have confidence going to him in a game five. He went to Sabathia.
Yeah, and I mean, if we're looking at it right now and just kind of predicting what that's going to be, it's probably going to be Sonny in game one, then most likely Severino in game two, because I think that would be full rest. Because then you're taking Tanaka home.
Okay, but you just said how good Tanaka was, and that would also be regular rest for Tanaka.
You're right, but we're also putting Tanaka in situations where he can succeed, right? So we're going to do that at home.
If you're going to pitch Tanaka on the road, you might as well pitch him in game one and then go Tanaka and Severino, because both of those guys would be on regular rest. But if you're not going to pitch him on the road, then just save him for home and pitch Sonny in game one.
Right. Yep. And that's what I think is going to happen. So anyway, I can't believe we're going Houston.
Because right now I'm kind of struggling. It's like, how much do we talk about the game that just happened? People want to hear about this game. It was an awesome game. So much good stuff happened in this game. So much good stuff that we have a couple bad things that happened, but I feel stupid talking about them because they don't matter. And then how much do we talk about Houston? Because that's really all that counts right now.
No, definitely. The one other thing we could talk about in this game for sure is when you're the way that it went down for the Yankees is, I think, very interesting, right? You have CeCe go in into the fifth inning. Then you have David Robertson come in and pitch in three innings basically. And then you have Aroldis Chapman. I mean, if you were to even try to script the way that the bullpen was going to work, if Sabathia went 4 1/3, there's no possible way anyone in this world, I don't care how deep you are in the Yankees, that you would have predicted the way that it went down of David Robertson doing this again, 2 2/3 or whatever it was, and then Chapman going 6 and only using 3 pitchers if Sabathia is getting you less than five innings of work. I mean, Chad Green doesn't show up.
I thought that was shocking.
The fact that Chad Green didn't get in this game was completely shocking to me. So, but you know what Girardi was doing? He was going with his gut and what was happening. He was through the because there's no page, there's no chapter in this binder that says this is what you do. This is totally off the wall, Girardi. This is like Girardi's like, screw this. I'm gonna trust myself. I'm gonna watch baseball, trust my guys, and go with that because that's what happened. That's exactly what he did, and I give him a lot of credit for doing that. And I think he pulled the right moves again today. I mean, D-Rob looked really strong. He barely threw any pitches in that first inning. He got that double play, huge.
Huge.
Right? Got out of there without throwing a lot, without laboring, so he was able to come back out.
I thought
everything he did was perfect. And Chapman, even in that first, in the eighth, got through it pretty cleanly.
I liked that he brought D-Rob in with the bases, with two guys on after Sabathia, because D-Rob loves that situation. He's Houdini, right? David Robertson is Houdini. He can get out of those situations. Then he brought him back out for the next inning, which was the sixth inning, which I also agreed with. I thought he was going to go to Chad Green for the seventh inning because, just like we talked about on two podcasts ago, extending Robertson to a third inning is risky. You're really playing with fire. It worked today. It worked in the wild card game. It didn't work in game two. So I just didn't think he was going to go back to that well one more time.
No, I agree with you. I thought Chad Green was coming out because two reasons. One, I mean, D-Rob pitched really well, so let's bring in another guy who's been phenomenal all year long. And you also have the option at that point, once you have Chad Green in, for him to go another inning, potentially into the eighth, or at least go into the eighth and see what he can do, and then have Chapman, you know, close out the eighth if need be.
Yeah.
But I thought that was going to be the move. I didn't think Canley was going to get in the game at that point unless somebody struggled. I thought it was going to be David Robertson, Green, and then Chapman. But I'm not saying I thought that before the game, because that's not what I thought at all before the game. I was thinking this in game. I'm like, okay, this is how I think it may go down. But
it was
Girardi just went with his guys, man. And they were look. D-Rob was playing, pitched really, really, really well. You could see how well he was pitching.
Yep.
And our boy Gary Sanchez, man, I tell you what.
With
the exception of the last pitch.
Of course, the last pitch of the game is dropped by Gary Sanchez. I mean, if you could have drawn it up any more fitting than Gary Sanchez dropping a strike that goes right down the middle. I mean, come on. That's Gary Sanchez to a T right there.
Yeah, it's
squeeze the ball.
It's poetic. But no, he did a really good job with David Robertson. We all know what he does. I mean, he's down in the zone all day long. So,
I think,
man, just an all-around hell of a job.
With what Girardi went through this series, it was so he was emotional before the game. Did you listen to his press conference?
I did.
He's gotten emotional.
Did you feel bad?
A little bit. Anytime you see a grown man cry, especially your manager, you might feel a little bad about some things you may or may not have said about him on a podcast or on Twitter. But you've seen Girardi get emotional when he talks about Derek Jeter or Mariano or Andy Pettit, sort of the good old days. He gets emotional there. You didn't see him. He got emotional talking about the team and the Yankees' future, which right there said to me, he thinks this could be his last game. Which is obvious, because I think if they didn't win this game, it may very well have been his last game. But I don't know how you move on from Joe Girardi now, having him taken you to the ALCS. This is the first time in 10 years that he's managing the Yankees and the team is actually on the rise. I can't imagine him wanting to step away, or the Yankees wanting to step away from him. They're in the ALCS.
Well, that's the one thing there have been so many whispers, it seems like, over the past couple weeks. Even before that game, before the game that he didn't challenge that play, there have been so many whispers of him possibly stepping away. I mean, even Rucco was saying something like that. It seems like a lot of the guys who are in the business. Francesca's been saying it all week, too. These guys, they just keep saying it, how there's something there. So he's obviously said something to somebody, or they've picked up on something, because there's too much smoke for there not to be some kind of a fire in that, with Girardi talking. But I can't, and if it would have to be some kind of a personal thing, like I can't see him going to manage somewhere else.
It would be
him stepping away and maybe spending more time with his family or something like that. But you can't be in a better situation. And, the team responds. I mean, obviously
they
what
did.
Happened
they
today,
picked him up.
They're not. He's not going anywhere. The Yankees aren't sending him anywhere, especially after today.
Well, like you said, if he retires, like he doesn't want to manage anymore, that's one thing. But if I would be shocked if he, like there was rumors that the Mets are interested in hiring Joe Girardi if the Yankees don't.
That was the Mets just saying, hey guys, remember us, we're here. Yeah. Just so you know, we're here. We need to get in the papers somehow. So we're going to say that we're going to take Girardi.
And honestly, I bet the Red Sox would hire Joe Girardi. They just fired John Farrell. They would hire him as well.
Probably. Yeah.
So, but if you're Girardi and you want to keep managing baseball, why not stay with the Yankees?
Yeah, it makes too much damn sense. You went through all that nonsense with all these like high paid dudes,
13, and now you finally 15 sucked, and now you're finally in a good situation.
Yeah, you're in a ridiculous situation, actually, a ridiculous situation with the amount of money that's coming off the books too, and the money that they can spend, and what they're doing already. I mean, everybody? Let's just close your eyes for a second and understand how valuable what's happening right now and how early this is happening in the process and how this is going to help moving forward as well. Whatever happens. I mean, we've been saying that for all series too, but unbelievable. This team goes down 0-2 and then comes back and wins against the best team in baseball. I mean, these guys are ready to go right now. What's going to happen when they improve even more in years to come? It's crazy. This is an unbelievable situation for Girardi to be in. So if he were to go away and retire, it would be because I think that he's burnt out and he just needs to step away and spend time with his family. I thought I heard something like his kids are getting to that point or like in high school or whatever.
15,
they're
15 and 18.
Yeah. So they're traveling a lot with sports and things and other whatever, going off to college, so you want to visit. So I get it. There's, you know, family happens. But man, that'd be a tough decision.
Unlike Brian Kenny, who said that it's World Series or bust for the Yankees, you and I agreed that if they just gave Cleveland a competitive series, we thought that was a very big step forward for this team. They had to get by Minnesota. They got by Minnesota. Next step, give Cleveland a good series, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That was definitely the mindset.
And I mean, then game two happened, and we felt, at least I felt like they were getting cheated, that the Yankees should have been 1-1 in the series, and instead they were cheated out of a win, and I thought that was going to be the end of them. Honestly, did anyone after game two think they were going to win 3 in a row?
I mean, I did.
Yeah, you did say it, but
I mean, I did.
I don't think you really believed it. What I'm saying is we thought it was going to be a disastrous end, and that's why it was going to be a disappointing finish. Instead, the team rebounded like they've done all season, and they picked up their manager. I questioned if Joe Girardi lost that clubhouse after he didn't challenge that play. You had Aroldis Chapman out there liking Instagram posts. He didn't trust Gary Sanchez to challenge the play. All that bullshit. But instead, the Yankees go home, win two games, and then they win a ridiculous game 5 on the road. They picked up Joe Girardi.
Yeah, and let's also look at the box scores of this entire series. You're looking at Gary Sanchez and Aaron Judge, who did not have a good series. These guys did not have a good series. 5 for 38. 5 for 38, and we just beat the best team in baseball.
Aaron
Five for
Judge,
38 with their two guys. Aaron Judge struck out
every
three
time.
Times, four,
every
time.
Every time. He struck out 16 times, and he made like 20 outs. He didn't strike out. He put the ball in play 4 out of 20 times, and somehow... Yeah. Somehow, this team won a series against the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, that's what's crazy. I mean, if these two guys start coming around and they hit, Matt Holliday didn't even play. I mean, you have this entire team was picking each other up. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. The starting rotation was very good. I mean, very good.
Yeah, with the exception of Sonny Gray.
With the exception of Sonny Gray.
4 great starts in a row.
The bullpen was very good. And, you know, with a small blip on that one game that was just, weird. It was a weird game. Let's just call it that. It was a weird game. Put it in the past. It's gone.
It's forgotten now.
It doesn't matter.
What does it matter at this point? It's going to be, like you said, it's a blip on the radar.
It's a Rajah Davis home run. Totally forgotten. Nobody cares. At the moment, huge. Nobody else will talk about it in 10 years. But you know what? I mean, this team is obviously, we talked about how when you go into the playoffs, this team is built for a series because they're so deep. Their depth is everywhere. It's in the lineup. It's in the rotation. It's in the bullpen. And that's completely showing right now. You're seeing that unfold in front of your eyes because two of our best hitters were not good in this series, and they beat the Indians.
Didi, for all he did today, wasn't good games 1 through 4 either.
No, Didi struggled the whole series until today.
Really? And the offense, the, where did the, think about where the offense came from games one through four. A lot of, I mean, they had Bird who hit the massive home run in game three. Hicks had a great game two with the 3-run homer. And then there was a lot of
Todd Frazier
had a solid series. But there were a lot of errors in game four that gave the Yankees a lot of runs. So the offense by no means clicked. Severino and Tanaka each going seven innings, saving the bullpen while at home, setting it up so they could get, what did they get, 14 outs out of their bullpen tonight?
Yeah, it was a lot. I don't know. I can't count right now. But like it was
we said, Canely going the extra inning in game four, allowing Chapman to be rested for two innings.
Yeah.
And gave a lot of small things set up so they could actually come back.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, those are, you look at anybody in the lineup and it wasn't good. The other thing too today, I was talking about this yesterday and one of those like little side notes that you don't think about as much, but when Tito Francona brought in Allen at the end of the game.
To get work.
What happened when he came back? You saw a ridiculously long at-bat by Todd Frazier that resulted in a walk. And then you saw a 12-pitch, which I think was the longest of the playoffs this year, at-bat, which was an unbelievable at-bat by Brett Gardner with resulting in a base hit, scoring Hicks, and then Frazier scoring on when the ball got away. I mean, honestly, I'm looking at those. I'm circling those. I'm looking at them like, I knew this shit was going to happen. I knew it. Francona was being cocky again, bringing in his guy for work. And honestly, you grind out at bats that much against a top flight closer like that. And if you don't see him the day before, maybe those at bats aren't as long. Maybe he's sneaking something by you. But you know what? Brett Gardner, it was like he knew every pitch that was coming and he was just fighting them off. I'm just fighting him off. That high fastball, he fought off like four or five times, just waiting for his pitch. That's all. He wasn't even trying to hit it. It seemed like it was just, he's trying to foul it off. And they grinded out the at-bats and then beat him. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful baseball.
At-bat of the season for Brett Gardner right there. 12-pitch at-bat. They needed that insurance runs because Smoltz was saying it on the broadcast. Chapman was sitting for 20 minutes. Had they not scored, that kind of would have been a letdown.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. It was because the at-bats were so long.
Chapman comes back out and he doesn't look sharp. I mean, he had a 3-run lead to work with, so it didn't matter. But the first couple batters, he didn't look sharp. He was throwing a lot of sliders tonight, too, I noticed.
Yeah, actually, they look pretty good, though. They were pretty good sliders. A couple of them were not so good.
But anytime Chapman's throwing a slider, you're kind of like, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah. No, but he, you're right. I mean, having that cushion was huge. Who knows what happens if there's just a 1-run lead? It could be a totally different situation, especially if you get a runner on and, you know, they steal a base, which you could do against Aroldis Chapman. Totally different game at that point. So those insurance runs were massive. You can never talk enough about insurance runs. They're always huge, especially in the playoffs.
One final thing I want to mention from this series before we move on to the ALCS. Judge, like we said, he struck out 16 times. We know the strike zone was kind of bogus on him a lot of times, but when he was up his second to last at bat, it was the seventh inning, right? When he struck out and it was a strike him out, throw him out.
The 3-1 count.
He looked at a 3-1 pitch right down the middle.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge is up there not to walk. He's up there to hit home runs and drive in runs. I want him attacking on a 3-1 fastball. Yeah, the 3-2 pitch was low and it was bogus, but he needs to take a good hack at that 3-1 pitch.
It was low and away. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible,
it
terrible
was,
call.
But that doesn't change the fact that he needs to be hitting that 3-1 pitch. He's up there to hit.
You're right. He does need to be aggressive with a pitch like that. The problem is right now he's just freaking.
He's in between.
His brain is shot. When he's up there, he's thinking. It seems like he's thinking at the plate and he's not. I mean, can we be his batting coaches? And I'll just tell him to go the other way every single day. That's the only – I'll say – one sentence to him. That's it. That'll be my entire thing. Just go the other way every single time. Because whenever he's striking out in these long streaks, it seems like he is, pulling through the ball, trying to pull it. It just, his whole body's lifting off of the ball, and you know the he's just going to get a steady dose of breaking balls on the outside corner for the rest of his life if he doesn't start being more disciplined in that. The problem is that when you have the umpires calling those pitches that are not strikes, then he's just screwed. But that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, to me, if you're getting called out on a pitch like that, fine. But like you said, fastball down the gut, 3-1, that's where you got to make the mark.
Yeah, the umpires were, I think, bad for both sides, though. So it's not like you can just complain if you're a Yankees fan. I think the Indians fans are probably complaining, too.
Oh, 100%. It was a big strike zone. It wasn't, I mean, and it was just a big strike zone.
It was a big strike zone. And it was all over the place. All over the place big. I just kind of, as you were talking about Judge pulling out, do you think that maybe, do you think maybe A-Rod's notes pull out stuff were evaluating Aaron Judge's swing?
Oh, how did I know this was going there? Probably, yeah. I think it was, actually. They did have lunch. They did have lunch.
They did.
Was J-Lo at lunch, too?
Let's move on to the ALCS. We're going absolutely crazy. Houston. Houston's good.
Houston is very good. Houston's deep. Houston's very deep, too. They're similarly set up. I don't know about their bullpen.
No, so here's that was going to... So. Houston, offensively, best team in the league. They scored the most runs, 896. The Yankees were second with 858. As good as Cleveland was, has as long of a lineup as Cleveland's was, Houston's is going to feel twice as long. They've got power up and down the lineup with Springer, who led the team 34 home runs, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, Yuleski Gurriel, not even mentioning McCann and Beltran. That lineup is so friggin' stacked. They pretty much pounded Yankees pitching when they came in back in May. Remember the game, the Derek Jeter day, when Masahiro Tanaka gave up like 48 home runs in the first inning?
Yeah.
A lot of guys in that lineup can hit home runs. They crushed Boston's pitching. So, yes, their weakness, their underbelly is after Verlander and Keuchel, that pitching staff is thin. It's thin in the back of the rotation, and it's thin in the bullpen. So if the Yankees make it a bullpen game against Houston, that's probably good news for them. But if they make it a slugfest, I don't think they can slug with them.
I think they can slug with them because I think that the Yankees, pitching staff is that much is better when you're talking about the bullpen, like you're saying. But so that kind of limits their slugging. So I don't think they're going to be at their best. As far as offensively. So
well, they hit the Red Sox bullpen, and the Red Sox bullpen was second in baseball. Yankees are third in baseball for ERA.
They didn't look like it.
Indians are first.
Playoffs are a different time.
It is.
They're just the Yankees bullpen right now is clicking. It just seems like it's on fire. You put up anybody's bullpen against the Yankees right now, and I'll take the Yankees. I mean, they're right there going at the right moment. I mean, I think a lot of those numbers are skewed also because we had some bad months. People were hurt. Like, weird things are going on. Now they're at full steam.
You take Tyler Clippard out of there and then...
Yeah, take Tyler Clippard out of there. Exactly. There's some weird stuff going on if you look at what happened this year as far as the names that are on this team. But yeah, they're deep. The whole lineup is very deep. And, you know, we dodged a bullet. That's another thing for this particular team. You know, the Indians... When they won 22 straight games, they hit a very big high. And I thought it was going to be difficult for them to carry that all the way through the World Series. And it turns out it was. One of the big moments that was, I think, really honestly impactful for the Yankees was when Encarnacion got hurt. That takes a humongous bat out of their lineup and one of their big thumpers and a guy that's been killing the Yankees for years. So we were kind of spared that giant bat in the middle of their lineup. Mm-hmm. We're not spared that when we go to Houston. Houston has big bats up and down, and the way that they're swinging the bat, I mean, Altuve is on a freaking another planet right now.
533 in the Red Sox series.
That's ridiculous. That's utterly ridiculous. And with power, too.
Yeah.
That little man hits the ball out of the ballpark. By the way, the voicemail line has been ringing this entire time.
I cannot wait. All I see is
Skype like popping up notifications on my desktop. It's every single like 5 seconds a new one's coming in. It's crazy. Lost my train of thought. Not difficult right now.
Yeah, Jose Altuve is an animal. Carlos Correa though is a Yankees killer. His career numbers against the Yankees in his young career are ridiculous. And like you were saying about how Encarnacion going down helped the Yankees, obviously it did, because he was also protecting Jose Ramirez in that lineup, and the Yankees handled Jose Ramirez very well.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's going to be harder to handle Correa, Bregman, Altuve, Gurriel, Beltran, McCann, all of those guys. There's so many hitters, so many good hitters in that lineup.
Yeah, no, and Bregman's hitting the ball well. I mean, he took Sale deep twice, I think, in that series, and pretty much drove a freaking nail through him when he came in relief in that last game. So they're flying high right now. I mean, this team is ready to go. This team is what the Yankees were, you know, predicted to be in like next year. They're a young offensive team. This team has been built. What was that Sports Illustrated? I think it was like 2015 or 2016. It might have been 2015. Where the cover article was the Houston Astros, your 2017 World Series champions. You know, it's one of those things. You could see that they were building this team up with that offense and the core of offensive guys, and they're hitting their stride right now. Is when they're hitting it.
Did they miss the playoffs 2016? Because they obviously made the wild card, beat the Yankees in the wild card 2015. I think they missed the playoffs. So they took kind of a minor step back, totally retooled in the offseason, had a great season. They were the best team this year in the American League until Cleveland became the best team with their 22-game win streak.
Yeah, when Houston came out, I mean, they came out on fire. I mean, I think it seemed like the AL West was 20 games out with like 3 weeks into the season.
They had their division wrapped up in June.
Mm-hmm.
And
then you get Verlander coming over there.
They got better at the deadline when they got Verlander. Verlander's numbers, look at this. Since he came to Houston, 5 games, 34 innings, only 17 hits allowed, 1.06 ERA.
Yeah, I got beef with Justin Verlander, too. I used to get drunk with him at college parties. He lived 2 doors down from me when I went to EU.
What did he drink?
I don't know. We drank everything. I have no idea. It's not like anybody had a drink when you're in college.
He's a Bud Ice guy.
Natty Light was the beer down there. You know, every college has their own shitty beer. Ours was Natty Light.
Yeah, it's Natty Light or Keystone Light at pretty much every college across America.
Or Busch Light or Milwaukee's Best, which is the worst beer ever made. but no, Verlander's been kind of reborn. I mean, he was, I don't know how much of his struggles were due to the fact that the Tigers were just a terrible, they seemed like a bad organization, honestly. Just a frustrating organization
to be a part
of. Yeah,
you know why? Because Dombrowski left him in shambles just so he's going to leave the Red Sox in shambles.
Yes, he is. I'm so excited for that day, too. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be zero depth in that team. They're a bunch of old dudes with huge contracts that can't win in the postseason or can't pitch anywhere past September. What a bunch of losers.
What a pathetic loser.
What a bunch of losers. Then you get so Verlander is pitching really well. I mean, what was it, 34 innings pitch, 1.06 ERA. He's been really good. I mean, the velocity's there. He's another one of those guys in big game situations I don't want to go against. He reminds me of a similar mindset of CeCe, like nothing bothers him. He's just going to go out there and deal. And he's got a freaking rubber arm. So he's one of those guys that's definitely one of the scarier postseason guys to look at.
We've been talking up the Astros. Obviously, they beat the Red Sox in 4 games. They've got to be looking at the Yankees, though, saying they just won 3 in a row against the Cleveland Indians. They're coming in here riding high. This is not going to be easy for us. So as high as the Houston Astros are riding, Yankees are riding right there with them.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I don't think the Yankees are going. They will be an underdog in the series.
So what?
But
good. Good.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's let the big bad Yankees
for
be the underdog.
For once in our lives, can we be underdogs? Because it's always the Yankees were always in the position that the Cleveland Indians are in right now, depressed from losing against a team they were supposed to beat. Instead, the Yankees kicked their ass. I love it.
Yeah, no, they're going to be underdogs. There's no doubt about it. But it does. I mean, try to have that one of them, admit that they don't have any confidence, because this entire team has confidence. Nobody wants to play the Yankees right now. The Yankees are young and dangerous and just, you know, playing like they did last year. Remember at the end of the season, we're like
fast and loose,
they're playing dumb. They don't know any better. They're just going to go out there and play as hard as they can and see what happens. Maybe they'll win. And that's exactly what's happening. They're just going out there and this team has a championship pedigree from the minor leagues. These guys have all won together. I don't know how many times I got to spew that out, but it's a factor. It's a major factor, I think. I think these guys all like each other. That's very evident. They all want to win together. They obviously got their managers back when he screws up in the worst possible way. So, I mean, what are you looking for? Where's the chink in the armor? Because I'm not seeing much of it. There's really not many flaws or really bad things about this team up and down the lineup, up and down the entire team.
You just said something that kind of made me think, oh, that's a good rallying cry. Maybe we'll win. It's perfect.
Maybe we'll win.
It's perfect for this Yankees team. Hey.
I know.
Hey, maybe we'll win. Who knows?
I've been saying it all series. I've been saying it since the wild card. It's perfect. It's exactly what they need to be doing. So, get on board. Maybe we'll win. That's it. Hashtag it. Let's put it out there. This is what this team is. Loose. I love it.
It's going to be Keuchel game one, probably Verlander game two. You're saying Sonny Gray game one for the Yankees, Severino game two?
That's kind of what it's looking like it lines up. Yeah, I think they're going to definitely, I think Joe definitely wants Tanaka to start at home.
Okay, so that, yeah, that would line up Tanaka for game three, and then Sabathia coming back on full rest for game four. I think also it's important, if the Yankees are going to do anything, listen, we're now at a point where we're thinking World Series at this point. They're in the American League Championship Series. It's no longer anybody who's just saying we're just happy to be there. They can all go shove it because they're in the American League Championship Series. We're going for a World Series. The Yankees are not going to win a World Series if Sonny Gray doesn't get his act together. So get Sonny Gray back on track game one. Don't push him any longer where he's resting. He's been out in the bullpen for a while. He hasn't pitched since last Thursday. It's going to be a full week off for him. He needs to get going in game one, or this team's not going to beat the Houston Astros unless Sonny Gray steps it up.
Another factor, though, quickly on Sonny Gray is he's going against the Astros. That's a team that he has a lot of history with. I mean, being in the same division, a lot of those guys have seen him many times. He's seen them many times. So it's nobody's hiding from each other in that one. I mean, they know each other very well. So one thing we should probably look at moving forward, we'll get Dom on this one, throw some stats out there on what Sonny Gray's numbers are against the Houston Astros, because I guarantee he's got, you know, a good amount of starts. So we'll see. Hopefully he has some good numbers against these kids.
Yeah, we'll see. And hey, maybe we'll win.
Maybe we'll win.
We've got voicemails. They're probably still coming in as we're talking. I'm fired up to listen to those. They're the Game 5 Yankees moving on to the ALCS voicemails. Scott, it's going to be interesting, our schedule over the next couple of days. We're going to do our best to get a podcast out every day. We will update you, obviously, on our social media accounts at @Andrew_Rotondi, @ScottRynan, and obviously @YankeesPodcast for what the schedule is during the ALCS. But like I said, we're just doing our best here at this point.
Yeah, we actually have some crazy schedules coming up personally, so it's we're gonna be doing our damnedest to get one out after every single game. But go please rate and review the podcast. This is something that we need. We've been jumping up in the rankings. It's been awesome with the Yankees out right now in the playoffs, with the with them playing as well as they are in the ALCS. There's gonna be a lot of people looking for a Yankees show, and I would love nothing more for them to find our podcast in iTunes or wherever they're looking for it. If you have Yankee friends that are, if you have Yankee fans that are friends, tell them about the show, send it to them. I think you can actually text it now, the podcast link, so you can play it right in the message. But go tell your friends. Let's, you know, we want to grow the show even more. And now is a big time. Obviously, people are looking for some more Yankees content. So let's get those fringe fans, the ones that have been like dipping their toes in the water, even though I don't know how many bandwagon fans we really want, but just the ones that are dipping their toe in the water, maybe been away for a little bit. Let's get them on board. Let's get them on board and get them in, because this is a good team and this is a fun team.
Good stuff. Enjoy these voicemails, and we'll talk to you during the ALCS.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
I must be out, or I pick up the phone.
Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
I'm an insider here that you let down, but once again, what the fuck, Girardi? You and your stupid thunder! Why would you make Girardi still second? That was different. We knew Josh was going to bring up Pluto. I'm speechless. Let's put the Rocky fan on the phone. Like, why would you do that when TV is up next? And, I mean, it's just, I'm sorry, man, but he's been wrong. You're wonderful, but we have TV up. They shouldn't have one Girardi. One for 50.
Give it to the Houston Astros. We got this, baby. Let's go. What a team, what a year. We don't rebuild, we reload. Let's go, Yanks. This is Miles in Bismarck. Yankees win! I'm so excited. 3 in a row against over the best team in baseball. Didi Gregorius is the most amazing shortstop I've ever seen. CeCe with a clutch game. You know, Girardi had his had a bad day the other week, but I think the team lifted him up, and I think he can get a pass now. Bring on the Astros. Go Yankees.
Yeah! What a win! Move over, LeBron. King Didi is the new king of Cleveland. We got Girardi, the geriatric ball player, coming through for us. What a win. This is the best Yankee game I've seen in my lifetime. It was fucking great. Let's go. We're going to take on Houston now. Underdogs. Underdogs. Underdogs.
Let's fucking go. So, Yankees.
I called after the wild card game. I said Didi Gregorius was the most clutch hitter in Yankees history. He did it again in the first game, our first inning of Game 5. I don't know how much more clutch you can do. Starting this game out, on the best note possible. Glover, we're getting in your head early. You think it'd be euphorious. That's baseball. You can't predict these things. I'm listening to John and Susan in the car. Something else to say. Let's get the rest of this game done, boys. Let's go on to the ALCS. We need this game. Yankee fans need this game. Let's do this. Love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
I'm calling again, guys. Didi Gregorius equals clutch. Speechless again, guys. Bye.
This series has just ended. We are on to Houston. I'm in Indiana. I'm celebrating. Thank you. Go, Yankees.
Hey, Pinstripe is there from Syracuse, but holy fucking shit, Brett Gardner is my hero. Extending that bat for like 13 pitches, getting the clutch insurance runs, he saved Joe Girardi's job. And you know that Aaron Judge was sitting in the on-deck circle going, please don't walk. Now they even get straightened out in the next series, but that's okay, we can worry about this tomorrow. Yankees rule, fuck Cleveland, fuck Kluber, let's go.
Hey, Andrew Scott. Love you guys, love your podcast. This is Jim calling from Rhode Island, originally born and raised in Harlem, New York. I gotta say, from out here, I usually get a lot of tough love, if you want to call it, but these Red Sox fans have done nothing but tell me that the Yankees have absolutely no chance against Cleveland, and yet here we are, we came back from a deficit, and we're on to face the team that eliminated them. So, fuck the haters. On to Houston. Good night, guys.
This is Ryan from Iowa, and I have been a Yankee fan my entire life, and that was an amazing win. Amazing. That at bat from Brett Gardner was so stressful, but so awesome. CeCe, you are the man. We are going to win number 28, no doubt. Go Yankees.
I don't care how many times Judge whiffs, as long as Didi keeps hitting bombs like this, who cares? So, I'm at work because when I decided I was going to work late tonight about 4 months ago, I had no idea we'd be playing in Game 5 of the ALDS, and I just made a scene because Didi hit a home run, and I started screaming, and everybody looked at me, and I don't care because we are going to win the World Series. Yep, we're going to do it. I have confidence, and now my boss is probably mad at me. It's worth it.
Reggie Jackson was Mr. October. Zandini is Sir October.
Oh my gosh, we fucking did it! This is unreal. Yankees, let's go. You cannot keep us down. Chris Carter, all is forgiven. G-Man Choi, the entire season comes down to one game. CeCe, nuts up. Didi, one clutch man. Let's go, Yankees. Let's take down the Astros.
Hey, Danny in England, and I had to go all my way in the offensive line coach to stay up for Game 5. But it's well worth it. Didi, CeCe, and yeah, even Girardi. Hats off, my boy. What an epic performance. You boys starred in the Cleveland show. Back for those bugs that swirl around Jobber. The Yankees are coming for you, Houston. You've got a problem. The best team in sports just wrote a new chapter in their story history, and there's more to come. Top show, boys. Let's go, Yankees.
What's going on, guys? Love the show. I had a puke bucket next to me throughout the ninth inning until Gardner just got that incredible hit and incredible at bat. No better look than seeing Jose Ramirez bury his fucking face in his hand. He saw his tweet. He said, they're 3-0 at the stadium, cupcake to another fellow Yankee fan. So nice to see the Indians go home for an early offseason. And Balica Fly is growing early in the offseason now. Let's do this thing. One more.
The Yankees would. The
Hey guys, what a game. You know, everyone's going to talk about Brett at bat. He definitely deserves it. That was an incredible at bat, but I'm going to say one thing. Never again do I want to hear somebody bad mouth. Todd, what an at bat, buddy. Can't wait to see you again. Yes, baby. Let's go.
Alright, so I live in Boston. I called the other day and I was talking about the shit show Joe. That was me. I was like the last voice message on one of your I was one of the last voicemails on the podcast. Dude, I am fucking pumped right now. I don't know if I should be swearing. Like, my head's sweating. It's weird. But, dude, this is crazy, man. You know, I know a lot of people think that we shouldn't be giving Joe any type of booze or any type of, you know, any type of heat for what he did in game two. But personally, man, I think he deserved it that one night in the Bronx. I think from here on out, though, man, that dude deserves, I think it's like, do it for Joe. That's what I think this is. I understand it's like a complete 360, but I think that leverage that he has right now with him and his job and whatever else that the Yankees are fighting for, besides obviously a World Series ring, we need to run with that, and he really deserves it, man. This guy, you know, I'll eat my words. It was a shit show on Tuesday, so I definitely he deserved what he got. I don't care. But man, let's go Yankees, dude. I fucking lost my voice, and I lost it literally in one inning. This is crazy, man. But let's go, man. This is awesome. I'm probably gonna call again because I think I sound like shit right now. But let's go, man. Let's go.
How about those fucking Yankees? Nobody picked us except for bum-ass Alex Rodriguez. And here we are, four games away, four wins away from being back in the World Series. What a game in Cleveland tonight. Carson Charles was having it. Came through, stepped up. Didi Gregorius came through in the clutch and stepped up. Two monstrous home runs. Garden came through, and I'm so proud of those guys. And you know, Didi, he's had a little rough start at the beginning of his Yankee career, but we couldn't ask for somebody better to replace number two. What time to be a Yankee fan? Future looks bright.
Talk about a fucking game, baby. The New York Yankees are in the ALCS. CC. I mean, what a job. Four real strong innings. Struggled in that fifth. I mean, the bullpen comes in. Great move by Girardi. Don't even want to hear a word about Girardi. Game two, he messed up. He came back. Out-coached Terry Francona. That's it. He did him in. Game five comes in. Brings the bullpen in. The bullpen shuts him down. 4 2/3. Scoreless innings. Doesn't give up a hit. It's unbelievable by the bullpen. Sir Didi, two big ones, and no bigger than Brett Gardy. 12 pitch AB, could have been 13. Not 100% sure right now. And he drives one in the right field. Great running by Todd Frazier. He gets it on the error. Takes the edge off for Chappie. And my man Chapman comes in, wheeling, dealing. The six out save. That's it. That's all she wrote. Yankees go to the ALCS. Gonna have to play some good ball to get by the Astros, but listen, I'm happy. Go Yankees.
Let's fucking go. I'm calling from Pittsburgh. I'm in college at the Burn. I had to leave my night class early to watch this one. And we're going to the ALCS, baby. Unstoppable. Brett Gardner, Didi Gregorius, everybody. Judge, you're gonna turn up the ALCS. Let's fucking go. Let's do a World Series. Let's go.
Let's fucking go, Yankees. Huge fucking win. CC Sabathia, throwing fucking heat. I might be drunk. I don't give a fuck. Let's go, Yankees. ALCS, we're gonna kick Houston's ass. Let's fucking go!
Woo! Alright. We made it. That's a comeback right there. That's the first series win without cheers since 81. That was absolutely incredible. CC came out there, established that strike zone. I mean, I've never seen a performance like him. That was just absurd. We're going into the ALCS hot. I know Keuchel's killed us in the past. I'm feeling confident. The team's got nothing to lose, and they're finally a team. You know, it's not just a bunch of superstars that Cashman or Steinbrenner or Levine is brought in. This is a team. Always love each other. They'll die for each other. We're ready to go. We're primed to make a nice run right here. Chapman killed it tonight. I always worry about Chapman in there. God damn it, he has to perform. Let's win. Come on. Go Yankees.
Oh my God. Thank you, Didi. Thank you, Didi. Thank you, Gardy. Thank you, Severino. Thank you, Tanaka. Let's go get him in Houston, baby.
Let's fucking start over. Sorry.
I thought I had a good intro, too.
I blacked out. I'm so fucking tired.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.